Chapter 30. Go time. We didn't wait for dawn. We didn't wait for dusk, either. We suspected a bunch of plants, didn't much care whether it was light out or not. Less than a day after Legion Tex had discovered the wreck, 5 full units of troops marched toward the site. We wore determined expressions, but carried substandard gear. After the Podwalker attack, the Bio people had managed to rebuild our numbers from a few hundred up to a full cohort in strength, but we didn't have enough guns and armor to go around. For the most part, all the troops were from Winslade's cohort. He'd been given overall command of the operation as well. I don't think he was happy about that. He'd probably rather be back at the lifter sipping a cool beverage, but he played it straight enough.
"Listen up, Legion Varus," the Primus's voice buzzed in my helmet. "I know we're supposed to be heavy infantry, but only half of you are wearing armor. Be glad I managed to get everyone a rifle at least. The units we're leaving behind the lifter have been stripped bare. There was talk of sending us off with every other man using force blades alone, but I squashed that idea."
His words were alarming. The trouble was, we'd been sent down to Death World fully equipped, but most of us had died. In many cases, we'd lost our equipment. My squad, for example, had lost everything. Many of the ill-fated troops in the drop pods had lost their weapons as well. As a result, my squad's loadout was definitely less than optimal. It had been decided that anyone not specifically designated as a line combatant was to be given a smart cloth tunic and no armor at all. That really upset my specialists, especially Carlos. You would have thought they'd cut off his left nut.
"This is too much," he said, starting up again. "First Graves blasts me to paste after humping it over half the planet. Then as a reward for faithful service, they shaft me with a snap rifle and a gunny sack full of med gear. What am I supposed to do if one of those podwalkers catches my ass again?"
"Same thing you always do, Carlos," Sargon answered. "Die squealing."
Sargon seemed to think this was extremely funny, and he laughed long enough to get most of the squad laughing along with him. People were tired of Carlos's complaining, and I couldn't blame them.
"Look at you, muscle brain," Carlos said, talking to Sargon. "One breastplate and a pair of boots. The rest of you is wearing fancy pajamas. Half a suit of armor isn't much good against spines and acids."
"I've got a belcher," Sargon said, "and I'm happy with that. Some weaponeers are carrying rifles like the rest of you pukes. I can't imagine the shame."
The chatter went on like that, but I tuned it out. I didn't much care what they said, as long as no one got mad enough to blast another squad mate. I couldn't allow that.
"How much farther, Kiwi?"
I asked. As my tech, she was watching the map displays on her tactical system. My helmet-based system only reached so far. Hers could scan the entire planet if she was hooked to the Legion net, which she was now.
"I'm looking at 5 to 7 kilometers, depending on whether we march straight through or circle around."
We were pretty close to the tree line now, marching over scorched ground that sent up choking clouds of ash as we passed by. The trees were like a mountain range directly ahead of us. The massive plants were daunting. Their trunks were somehow more imposing when you could visually compare them to flat, open land. As we walked into the gloom under half-burned branches, I felt an oppressive coolness steal over my body. The blackened, skeletal claws of the megaflora clutched at the skies overhead. It was the ultimate haunted woods.
"I hate this forest," Carlos said, deciding to complain about something new. "It's unnatural. We're like beetles crawling among redwood giants."
"Yeah, but bugs are quieter," I commented, but it didn't seem to faze him.
5 kilometers in. That sounds like Turov missed a bet," he continued. "She should have kept firing and destroyed everything."
"If she had, maybe we'd be stuck on this planet forever,"
Kiwi pointed out. "Are you kidding? You've got to be joking, right?"
Kiwi gave him a disgusted look. I could tell why their short-lived relationship, which had flourished on Machine World, had quickly petered out. Carlos just couldn't help but
rub people the wrong way, even his ex-girlfriend.
What's your point, Ortiz?
Kiwi demanded. My point is, Buttercup, that this mission is going tits up already. We're not going to take over some damaged landing craft built by plants and fly it up to Minotaur. The whole idea's laughable. It's got to be Turov's dumbest plan to date. No, if we don't die capturing it, we'll die for sure trying to get it to fly. Kiwi hated when he called her Buttercup, which was a nickname that he had apparently begun during their brief time together. Her weapon rose up and aimed at his back, but I was ready for that. I grabbed the barrel and tipped it toward the sky. She only had a snap rifle, but it was equal to Carlos's own gun. As they weren't armored, any conflict between them was likely to turn deadly real fast. Holding onto the barrel, I gave Kiwi a grim shake of my head. She sighed in frustration and aimed her weapon away. I let go, and the march went on. We ended up circling around to approach our target from the forest side. Soon we were walled in by greenery. Most alarming of all were the pods we saw hanging from the trunks.
We should kill every one of these we encounter, Carlos said.
I agree, I replied for about the 10th time.
Then come on. Just do it.
Can't, I already asked. Request denied. Carlos came close to me. We were beyond the region of radioactive ash, so we'd taken off our helmets. Breathing the local atmosphere wasn't entirely safe, but it saved power and our air tanks.
Don't listen to Winslade,
he whispered loudly.
When have you ever listened to him anyway? Where's that old McGill magic? Come on. He won't do anything. He's a pussy.
I'm fresh out of magic at the moment. He pulled his head back like a turtle and peered at me.
Damn, I never thought I'd see it with my own eyes.
I frowned at him. What?
You, turning into a stiff. Since when did you decide to play Boy Scout? I've never seen you refuse to take action to save your squad. It's like one of these aliens transplanted your brain or something.
Listen up, specialist, I told him. I'm not refusing to take action. I'm just unsure what the right play is in this case. Attacking these pods might be a good idea, or it might needlessly set them off. Remember the spiders back at the field around the Nexus? Burning them got them to wake up. If we'd walked past quietly, they might never have done a thing.
Maybe. But then again, they might have come after us later in a massed swarm if we hadn't burned them first.
I shrugged.
See, uncertainty. We just don't know enough about this world to go second-guessing all the techs and bio people in the Legion.
They've been studying the matter a lot longer than we have. Carlos steered away from me again, shaking his head.
I'm feeling a little sick here. James McGill, a stiff, a rule-following member of the Shepherd's flock, makes me want to puke.
You're in rare form today, I told him. Clear off and move to the rear of the column. Maybe you can wrap up someone's stubbed toe. Grumbling further, he did as I asked. It was a relief to see him go. Sometimes I wasn't sure how I'd managed to stay friends with a man who often irritated the living hell out of me. That was a mystery that I'd probably never figure out. After he was out of earshot, I wondered about his words. Was I becoming dull and predictable? A rule follower who didn't question his betters? I didn't like the thought of that. Fortunately, fate didn't give me much time to ponder. About 3 minutes after my talk with Carlos, we came into sight of the fallen craft, and Winslade ordered us to encircle it. The ship itself was strange. It didn't match anything I'd seen before. Empire ships were usually squared off and built with complex geometric pieces layered together. Squid ships tended to be oblong and rounded, like giant zeppelins from Earth's past. This craft wasn't like either of those basic designs. The ship looked to me like an insect. There were legs on it, thick struts that tapered up from the padded feet to the body itself. The back had a fanned set of wings that appeared to have been drawn inward against the body and folded on top of the upper hull. I guessed the wings were there for atmospheric travel. The front of it, at least what I thought was the front, was a bulbous module with a tongue that seemed to spit down to the floor of the forest.
"You know what that looks like to me?"
Kiwi asked.
"Yeah, a fly, maybe?"
"Close. It's a mosquito, a thickly built mosquito."
"You're right. How odd. They chose a design that matches nothing on this world."
"It's an efficient, ancient design," she said. "There were mosquitoes eating dinosaur blood back on Earth, you know."
Harris and his squad had been trailing us. Now that we were hunkering down along the ridge line, they came up behind us and stared at the ship just as we had.
"Looked like a bug,"
Harris said.
"A mosquito," I suggested.
"Yeah, you're right," said Harris. "That long tongue thing that comes out of the head and touches the ground, that would make quite an impression if it stabbed into a man."
He laughed, but no one shared in his mirth. Della came up next, and she threw herself down beside me, hiding among the ferns.
"I don't like that thing," she said. "Is it true such monsters exist on Earth?"
"Mosquitoes? They're real enough. This ship does look like one if you magnified it about 10,000 times.
"A terrifying image of evil," she breathed.
I chuckled. "Plenty of people in Georgia would agree with you."
"What's wrong with the ship?"
Della asked.
"What?"
"They said at the briefing that this ship was disabled, that it had survived the broadsides, but I don't see any damage."
She was right. I contacted Kiwi, who answered back quickly.
"We're working on that," Kiwi said. "We don't know the answer. The initial images showed damage, but the vessel looks perfectly operational now."
"Well, I like mysteries," I lied. "How long until we run up that thing's tongue and take a look inside?"
"Tongue?"
she asked.
"If this craft's design is based upon real insects, the correct term would be proboscis."
I rolled my eyes. "Whatever. How long?"
"Soon. The techs are all chatting about it. They're recommending caution, but Winslade has overruled them."
"Uh-huh," I said. "I figured that was coming."
"There's something else, James,"
Kiwi said in concern.
"Did you know that we've been designated to take the point on this attack?"
"I've been meaning to bring that up," I said apologetically.
"You really are a bastard. You know that, don't you?"
"So I've been told."